Matthew chapter 25. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about stewardship. I think it's a good time, especially since we're looking at budget and all of that. If you got your Bible and you're on Matthew chapter 25 and you're able to and you'd like to, go ahead and stand with us. We're going to read a little section from God's Word, then we'll get off over into the subject of stewardship here this morning. Beginning in verse 14 of the 25th chapter, the Word says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of these servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." We're going to get to see a principle that is placed here in this particular area about stewardship. I'll come back and finish up with this passage here. I wanted to set the table with it today, and we'll return to it at the very end of the message here. In between, I want to show you where he's coming from and what this is all about, and we're going to have to go back to the beginning to do that, which will be back in the book of Genesis. So we'll set the stage for that with stewardship there this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather as a church of the living God this morning. We ask you, Father, that you would change us today. Lord, that you would change our mind about things. Lord, that we might be changed for the better all the way through. I ask you, Father, for those that are here this morning that claim to know the name of Christ, I pray, God, that we would listen on purpose today. Get what you have for us. I pray, God, for those that are here this morning and are investigating the claims of Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would break through even in a message on stewardship and show very plainly, dear God, who you are to these people. For we pray that in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank you. God is the author of stewardship. He created Adam and Eve. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. He created Adam and Eve after he created the earth. That was the last part of his special creation, was creation of Adam and Eve. We're told over and over in the beginning of the book, in the beginning of this of time as we know it, we're told that God spoke. Look at verse 3, and God said. Verse 6, and God said. Verse 9, and God said. Verse 11, and God said. Verse 14, and God said. Verse 20, and God said. Look at verse 26, and God said. The Bible begins with Him, God, doing the talking. It begins with God doing the doing, not man. Man is not the author of these things. God is the author. And this is an important distinction that I want to make this morning, and especially in stewardship. To start the conversation about stewardship this morning, we have to start with ownership. You have to settle the ownership question before you can ever get into the idea or the principles of stewardship. To get ownership, we have to start with sovereignty. And this is what we see in Genesis chapter 1. We start with sovereignty. And sovereignty starts with God. Now we're at the beginning. We're at the start of anything, any conversation, any principle that we want to get to. We have to start where it starts. Ownership. Sovereignty, these things begin with God. Everything on the planet to be managed everything on the planet that is an asset of the company, if you will, is to be used according to how the owner wants it to be used. Ownership is important. Sovereignty is important in the matter of stewardship. When God makes man, look down in verse 26. He says, and God said, let us, that's the Trinity in action here. That's the three persons that we referred to as God. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And that's not talking about he looked in the mirror and fashioned man to look like him. It's talking about as a spiritual being here, okay? He created him male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God makes man. God created everything. There wasn't anything before he began to speak. And when God began to speak, things began that were in his mind began to show up out here visibly. Then, when everything is put out here, as God wants it to be put out here, then he doles out responsibility. He doles out responsibility to the man and the woman, and he doles out the responsibility for them to have the dominion, for them to have the rule, for them to have management over what he himself has created. Now, this is important, and if you'll get a hold of this morning, it'll change your life. It'll change your mind. It'll change your whole view about stewardship if you'll get a hold of the principles that I'm throwing out at you here this morning. He made them managers over what he had made. He had a firmament above and a firmament below, and he separated the waters, and then he put plant life out there, and then he put the sun, moon, and the stars in the sky, and then he made fish and fowl, and then he made land animals, and he made man. And when he made man, then he put man in charge as manager over everything that he had created at that time. He became the manager of everything. Manage it for me, the boss said. Manage it for me, the owner said. Take care of these things for me, Mr. Man. To understand stewardship and have the changed life that we want to have, you have to understand ownership. Ownership is vital to understanding stewardship. We have to get it through those pretty little heads of ours that you own nothing. Now we're getting around to it. You have to get it through that pretty little head of yours, that stubborn head of yours, that you don't own anything. That there is nothing that you are owner of. You have simply been entrusted with the property of someone else. You've been entrusted with the property of another. Proof? Well, here's a simple proof for you. Everything that you say you own or that you have will either one day leave you or you will leave it. That's the proof. One day you will leave it or it will leave you. You own nothing. It'll go away or it'll stay here when you leave. Well, wait a minute. I own my house. I own my car. Well, yeah, in a sense you do. But that only makes sense on a people level. That only makes sense on a peer level. It's not an absolute statement. Because, once again, you will either leave it or it will leave you. On an absolute level, you do not own those things. We can only speak about ownership in that way. I own my car, I own my house, when I'm trying to get when I'm trying to keep you from taking what God has given me. That's the only way that statement applies. when you're trying to take something that God has given to somebody else. That's the only way you can talk about ownership in that particular way. God has given you what you have in order for you to manage it. There's not a family. There's not a nation. There is not a civilization on this earth that can talk about absolute ownership of anything. Because God is the absolute sovereign owner of it all. If the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, which includes everything that is on the earth, if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, then there's no room for you and me to have one single solitary thing. We don't own anything. God is the absolute owner of everything out there. I'm reminded of the story. You've heard it before. I'll remind you of it. The scientist that finagled and worked and figured out how he could apply electrical and electromagnetic energy into dirt and create life out of dirt. And so he challenged God to a match. He said, I can do anything you can do. I can create life as well. And so they squared off in the same vicinity. God reached down and picked him up some dirt to blow some life into it. And the scientist reached down and picked up some dirt to do the same with his contraption. And God said, no, wait a minute. Get your own dirt. God owns everything. God owns every single thing. Once we establish who the author is of stewardship, then we're on good footing. The author of stewardship is the owner of everything. And once you figure out who owns everything, it'll affect how you view a stewardship as well. So the author of stewardship, that's God Almighty Himself. He's the owner of everything. The second thing we need to settle is attitude. Attitude. What's the attitude supposed to be of stewardship? When you look at verse 28, it said, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over all of it. Two words there, subdue and dominion. Two great Hebrew words, subdue and dominion. One means to trample underfoot, and the other one means to bring under control. To trample underfoot and to bring under control. That is what he told these individuals to do. To trample underfoot and bring under control. God supplied it and man is to put it under his feet in the sense that he is to manage the gift that he's been given. He's to put it under his, what he's been given, he's to put under his feet. He's to manage what he has been given, the gift that he's been given. It's his to give, God's, and he gives to whom he will. And when he gives to whom he will, he expects that individual to manage what he's been given. When a steward acts like an owner, when a steward takes the place of the author, when a steward takes the place of the owner in that, then there is a huge problem. There are all kinds of things that come out of that, all kinds of attitudes, all kinds of things, and all kinds of problems that come with that kind of attitude. That's where evolution comes in. That's where all these things that we see spreading around our world come from. When a steward begins to act like he's the owner of things rather than being the recipient of some type of gift. Man wants to get rid of answerability. Man wants to get rid of accountability with the things of creation. That's why God has to go in the school. He's got to go. We got to get rid of the answerability. We got to get rid of the accountability. That's why he has to go in law. You got to get God out of law because we can't have answerability and accountability to God that hangs around in that. That's why he's got to go when you get to politics. We can't be answerable to God. We have to be answerable to some man. We need to be accountable to some individual rather than the creator of everything there. It's not just that people want to get rid of God. They want to get rid of accountability. They want to get rid of someone called God out here. That's what these theories and that's what these man-proposed things are all about, is moving ownership, moving accountability away from God. And if we can move it away from God and move it to one to another right here, we can do pretty much what we want to do and how we want to do it with whatever there is out there. There's no accountability. There is no one to answer to if we get God out of the equation. A steward recognized that God put him here to have dominion over what belongs to God, and reminds us not to forget it. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me read several verses here that go along with this. Deuteronomy 8, looking at verse 10. It says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he giveth thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Go down to 17. "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." What's that saying? Well, it's pretty simple what he's trying to get across right there with all of this. He's saying, don't forget God when you move from the south side to Stone Oak. Isn't that right? That's what he's saying here with all of that right there in the nutshell. He says, don't forget when you move from a Ford Focus to a Beamer. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget who gave you this. Don't forget where this came from when you move from one place to another place in your life. Don't forget when you move from wearing things out of Goodwill to wearing things out of Marshalls. Don't forget who brought you this distance. Don't forget who brought you these things right here. Don't forget where these blessings came from. Stewards are to be thankful. Don't forget who gave you the blessing. I wonder if there's any stewards that came to church today to thank God. To thank God for what he's done in their lives. To thank God for the distance that he's brought us. To thank God for the week that he just brought us through. To thank God for the things that only he could do in our lives. That's part of the reason that we show up here. It's part of the reason that we gather up here. We come here to thank God. Thank you, God, for the air that I breathe. Thank you, God, for the money I have to put these clothes on my back. Thank you for the good job that you gave that enabled me to turn the heat on in my house this week when it was really cold a time or two. You see, we come to be thankful, not to forget what God did, to forget that he's the owner, forget the good gifts that he has and that he wants to provide for each and every one of us. We need to have an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, you see. That's where this is bringing us to. You know, it'd be nicer to have a bigger and better house, wouldn't it? Oh, it'd be nice to have a bigger and better house. It'd be nice to have a bigger, better car. It'd be nice to have bigger and better. Well, not necessarily bigger clothes. Mine as big as I want them to be right now. I don't want to have to be no bigger clothes, but you know what I mean. It'd be nice to have something better than what we have. But I'll tell you what, you best be grateful with what you got till he does give you what you think would be nicer. Man, you got to be grateful right where you're at before things get to moving in those directions. It troubles me so many times with our younger generation of how spoiled we are making our youngest generations. We're seeing a group grow up that's not grateful for what they have. We're finding the younger generation is more carping about what we don't have than grateful for what we do have. Looking at names on things rather than the fact that there's shoes on the feet. And to cover those holy socks, etc. It bothers me that we're not teaching those principles of gratitude and thankfulness for what we have and being thankful for it until God gives us something better, until God gives us something that's nicer or bigger than what we had before. Spoiling them to expect things without gratitude, expecting things without being thankful for what we already have. Philippians chapter 4. If you go over and read that chapter sometime, it tells us to come with thanksgiving when we lay a problem at the feet of the Lord. It says when you come and bring your problems to the Lord, you better come with an attitude of gratitude. You come with an attitude of thankfulness when you lay that at His feet. Thanking Him for His provision. Thanking Him for who He is when you come and lay a problem there at Him. So I'd like to have an electric blanket, Lord, but I'm grateful for the quilt that You gave me. And I'm going to use that quilt that You gave me to cover me up until if and when that electric blanket does show up. I'm grateful for the quilt that You've given me. The author of stewardship is God Almighty. He's the owner of everything. The attitude of stewardship is gratitude. An attitude of thankfulness. The third thing we want to look at in stewardship this morning is the authority. The authority of stewardship. God has terms on everything. Have you noticed? He has something to say about everything. God has instructions. He has principles. You remember Deuteronomy 8, as we just read that just a moment ago? How does it say that we're not to forget? What is it that we're supposed to keep before us in order that we not forget the benefits of the Lord? It says that we are to keep His commandments before us. It says we're to keep His judgments before us. It says that we are to keep His statutes before us, lest we forget the benefits that we've received. In other words, we're to keep God's Word before us. We're to keep God's Word before us. His terms need to always be before us. A steward manages things on God's terms. A steward doesn't manage things on our terms and CC God in an email. We do it on God's terms, not on our terms. A steward manages things on His terms. He gave us a mind. Agreed? Sometimes we use it and sometimes we don't. But God gave us a mind to fulfill His instructions. He didn't give us a mind so that we could come up with a whole new playbook for what He owns. You get me? He didn't give us a mind so we could rewrite the books, so that we could rewrite the principles that He has laid out for us already. He gave us a mind so that we could understand those principles, so that we could get under the flow of blessing that are attached to the principles that He lays out there for us. Why will something like this, what I'm talking about this morning, why will it change your life? Why will it change your life to get this idea of God being owner of everything? That us having an attitude of gratitude is essential. The fact that there is an authority. There are terms that are attached to stewardship. How is it going to change your life to get that? Because listen, friends, whoever the owner is the one that has to fix the problems. That's why it'll change your life. Whoever the owner is the one that is responsible to fix the problems when things go wrong with it. That'll change your life if you think of it in that way. That'll change your life if you'll understand what belongs to God. And everything belongs to Him. And leave it belonging to Him rather than taking ownership of what He owns. When you take ownership of it, then it's up to you to fix it. It's up to you to make it right. But when He owns it, it's up to Him to fix it. It's up to Him to deal with the stuff that He owns. If it's still His, you can call on Him to fix it. And watch for Him to show up and do what needs to be done to do exactly that. So God gave man, He made man, and then He gave man instructions. Go over to chapter 2 of Genesis for just a moment. Chapter 2 of Genesis, looking at verse 16. Look what it says. And it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Now God knows that if you don't manage His property per His instructions, you're not going to get good results. You hear me? You got to manage stuff, God's stuff, according to His instructions, or you're going to get bad results out of the process. I want you to notice that there are some limitations on stewardship right here. Some limitations that He shows us as a prime example there in verse 17. Limitations on stewardship. The limitations on stewardship are always for the enjoyment of stewardship. Okay? I'm going to show you that here in just a minute in this right here. God doesn't limit stewardship to stifle stewardship. God doesn't limit stewardship except to expand the stewardship that we have. What most folks read when they read this passage right here is they want to focus in on verse 17, that God said no, that God said you can't do that. Folks want to zero in on the negative aspects of stewardship, the negative points of being a steward with Him. They read this, they center on verse 17, but not on verse 16, which precedes it. Verse 16 has a lot to do with stewardship as well. Do you see it there? Verse 16 tells us, He commanded the man saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. He commanded him to eat until he was stuffed. Eat everything out here. Eat anything and everything from all this out here. He just simply said, this one is reserved. This is reserved. But He commands him to freely eat, to steward all of this out here, and yet to hold one thing back. You can look at it. You can pass by it. But don't use it. This one thing. Look at it. Pass by it. Enjoy that. But do not use it. Well, what do you mean, no? What do you mean I can't have that? What do you mean I'm not supposed to enjoy that too? Why you won't be like that, God? Why you won't be like that and hold back things on me? Why you wanna keep things from me? Huh? Why you wanna be like that? We need to look at all we can have instead of the one little old thing we can't have that we're not supposed to have. He wants us to look at what we can have. He wants us to look at all the things that He's opened up for us to have. He commanded them to enjoy many of the trees. You're to stuff yourself with all of this over here, but this one is reserved for me. God's negatives aren't meant to ruin the positives. They're not. If you're living a negative Christian life, you aren't really living. You're focusing on the one instead of the many. If you're living a negative Christian life, you're focusing on the one and not enjoying the many that you have in your life. Christianity is much more positive than it is negative. The positives far outweigh the negatives in the Christian life. God gives them tons of things, but He keeps back some things for Himself. Believe it or not, this is where the tithe comes in. Here's where the tithe comes in, right here. I know you're fixing to tune out on me. All right. This is the principle of the tithe that we have here. We have the principle of God giving many and reserving few for Himself, for His own use, for His own satisfaction. He gives much and asks for little. This is right here. This is the seed form where all of that comes from, where everything springs from this particular principle, this concept right here. He has some of this out here that you can use and plenty of it, and then some things that you're not supposed to touch. The tithe is that way. He's given you much, but there's something you're not supposed to touch. It's reserved for Him. It's His, and it's His alone. You can look at it. You can pass by it. But you are not to use it. You are not to use it. Because when you use it, when you use that, it is a cursed thing. It brings a consequence along with it. Now, that'll ruin your morning, won't it? Huh? That could ruin your morning right there. You get a hold of that principle and get a hold of this principle that I'm talking about here with authorship, with God owning everything and the attitude that we should have with stewardship. And then you move over into the authority that we're talking about right now. It'll straighten everything out in your life. When you touch what God has set aside for Himself, you have touched the forbidden fruit. In the name of grace, which is where we always want to go. In the name of grace, you've touched the forbidden tree. And in the name of grace, you've robbed God. Now it's getting quiet. And because you've done that, judgment. Judgment takes place. It's forbidden to you. That one that He set aside for Himself, it's forbidden to you and only available to God. Only to be available to Him. The tithe comes in before the law. The tithe comes in during the law. And the tithe is there after the law. It's a principle that God moves from front to the back of His book all the way through. The tithe does not belong to you. It's the one tree that He's reserved for Himself. It's the tree in the middle of the garden that He alone has the right to. But we enjoy the rest of the trees. We enjoy the rest of what He allows us to have. It's not the only tree, but it is His tree. And that's the difference. Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Right? There's much more to that. Let me get into that for just a minute. But what we generally have is an attitude about the things that we have that we're stewards of in our life, is that we focus too much on the negative and not enough on the positive of what we have. The tithe and all these different things are no exception to that. What do you mean, God, that I'm going to have to survive on 90%? Huh? What kind of God are you to just give me 90% of everything? Huh? No, we get to enjoy 90%. We get to enjoy this, and He asked for only one tree in the garden. One little old bitty thing. Man, it's not just a tithe, it's everything in your life, ladies and gentlemen, that He's the owner of. Everything that he's the owner of. He has the right to tell us what to do with and ask us to use these things in the way that he wants them used. And when we don't, then there are things that are set in motion to show us that that's not a good way to go about it. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free is not doing, not just doing what you want when Jesus says that. It's not just about you doing what you want to do when you want to do it. Freedom, when you're talking about that, is the power to do what you should do. That's what freedom is. Freedom is the power to do what you should be doing. That you are free to limit yourself to what you should do, and you are free to avoid what you should not be doing. That's freedom that Scripture talks about. That kind of freedom, according to that same verse, comes from truth. It comes from truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. How do you get free to do what you should do and not do what you shouldn't do? Well, the truth makes you free. Truth is an absolute standard. It's an absolute standard by which reality is measured. Okay? There's an absolute standard that is called truth. Truth is the standard by which freedom is experienced. And the one thing that precedes both of those in the verse is the word no. No. Knowledge. Knowledge precedes freedom. Knowledge precedes truth. It's the knowledge that sets you free. It's the knowledge that brings these things to pass. Listen, putting a Bible under your arm doesn't put Bible in your head. Huh? Put a Bible on you under your arm and carry it around all you want to, but it's not going to put Bible in your head. And if you don't have any Bible in your head, when hard times come, then you don't have any truth to use. And if you don't have any truth to use, you'll not be set free. So that's the principle that we have with that passage. It's the knowledge of the truth that sets you free. The authority of stewardship is the Word of God. Now that's where I'm going with all of that. The authority of stewardship is the Word of God. We don't know what to do with God's stuff until we hear from God what He wants done with His stuff. When we hear what God wants done with His stuff, then we have the freedom to choose whether we will do what He asks done with His stuff, or that we won't do what He asks done with His particular stuff. So the authority of stewardship is the Word of God. The author of stewardship is God. He owns everything. The attitude of stewardship is an attitude of gratitude. The authority, His Word, you have to have a knowledge of His Word in order to know what to do with His stuff, the stuff that He gives you to be the manager over. Now, the hard part in all of this is that we have an adversary, right? We have an adversary, one that's against us in all of this, and one that does not want to see us get this principle, one that does not want to see us get the blessings of being a good steward in God's economy. And so the adversary attacks the authority. That's how he got thrown out of heaven. He attacked the authority. He wanted God's glory for himself. He wanted to supersede. He wanted to rise above. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to have the glory of God. So he attacks the authority. Jesus tells us in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what he's at. He's after it. He's the adversary. That's where all of these man-made theologies and man-made ideas and things that are opposed to the Word of God come from. The adversary is the one that stirs that pot up and continues to stir it day by day. He wants you to keep everything you got for you. He wants to get the authority out of your life so that it's just between you and your fellow man about what you do with the stuff that you have. He wants you to buy into evolution. He wants you to buy into these things that cut God out so that there's no authority and no accountability for anything on this planet. The adversary has done a good job. He wanted to own God's glory. He got booted out. He wants you booted out too. He wants you booted out just the same way that he was. He will always focus on one tree. That's the adversary. He'll always put the focus on one tree. Not the many. Not the many blessings that you have as a Christian. He always wants to focus and get you focused on that one thing. That one little thing that you're not supposed to mess with. That one little thing that you're not supposed to use. That's where he wants your attention. How dare God give me 90%? How dare he do that? God gonna take one and leave me nine? I mean, what's wrong with that? But he wants you focused on the one that you're missing out on. The one thing that God said he wanted, that he would keep for his own use. Whenever you get upset about the part that God keeps in your life, you can know where that came from. Hear me? When you get upset about the one thing that you're being denied, the one thing that you are not being allowed to use, when you get resentful or bitter or angry about that one thing that you can't use, we know where that's coming from. That's got to be coming from the adversary. The adversary wants man to become an owner, not a manager. You have your rights. You're somebody. He wants you to become an owner rather than a manager of what God has gifted you with. Don't restrict me, God. Don't hold me back. I deserve. Well, I'll tell you what you deserve. You don't want what you deserve. You do not want what you deserve today, ladies and gentlemen. You want God's gifts. You want his grace to be brought to bear in your life. You definitely don't want what you think you want there. Sooner or later, God's going to let you know who owns everything. Sooner or later, God's going to let you know who owns that, and who owns that, and who owns that other part that's in your life. Go back to Matthew 25 and we'll close it out. When you read through this passage that we just read here from verses 14 down through 21 right here, you see that folks were given certain amounts of talents and that the master went off, and when he came back, what they had done with those talents. And if you'll read between the lines on everything that you have here, and you'll come to the conclusion in this, that God expects us to maximize what he's left us with. Do you see that in there? He expects us to maximize what he has given us. Those that buried what he gave and did nothing with it were not commended. Those who did something, maximized what he gave them, those he gave an abundance to. Now there's a principle in all of this. The principle with all of that here is the idea of understanding who owns everything. Who owns everything, the ownership of everything that we have here, and understanding the instructions that the Lord lays out for us in his word about everything that he owns. When we get that off track, then we begin to have fear and all kinds of other things that come into play. God wants us to be stewards, and he wants us to maximize what he puts into our hands, to use it to the best, to the uttermost, for the best possible use that we can use all of those things. And the only way that we can do that in an intelligent way is to use the resources, to use the things that God has given according to the principles that God lays out for us. That's the dividing line with these things. How are we going to know that? Well, the only way to know that is to stay in the instruction manual. Get in the instruction manual and find out what it is that God wants you to do with the gifts that he has given you. And if you can plug into that, keep in mind that he owns every single thing, and everything ought to be a spiritual decision with what to do with or how to do with everything that you've been given, that He owns it, that He can fix it, He can definitely give, and He can definitely take away. And if you can see all of that in Matthew chapter 25 here, He gives to some and He takes away from some. God's gifts, that's not my deal. I don't have to worry about who's getting what. See, that's another thing that goes along with this. Somebody has more than I have, and God's given them this and that and the other. That's none of my business. That's absolutely none of my business, what He's given you. What is my business is what He's given me, and what I do with what He's given me, and how I maximize what He's given me, what my attitude is with what He's given me. Am I grateful? Am I grateful for what He's given? Am I understanding who this belongs to, that it does not belong to me, that it belongs to Him, and that I am managing what He gave in this area? And as long as I can keep my eyes off of what He's doing with you and for you out there and keep it on what I'm doing here with what He's given me, then life is going to go great. Otherwise, I'm going to look at your stuff and I'm going to be wondering why I don't get the one that I'm not allowed to have. Why I can't keep that one, why I can't keep that tenth so that I can be like Mike or whoever out here. So keep it in perspective, all right? There's an author of stewardship, owner's God Almighty. The attitude that we need to have in light of that is an attitude of gratitude in every single thing with that. There is an authority that goes along with this, and that's God's Word. We're not going to know how to use these things unless we're in God's Word and looking at that. We also have to recognize that there's an adversary, and he wants us to become owner. He wants us to take up ownership of the things that are around us rather than being a steward of what God has given to us. And so, do you see yourself in this picture? Have you seen some things here? Maybe you need to change your mind about how you view and the stuff that you have and where it came from. Need to have a small change about how you take care of the things that you've been given. Listen, you've been given much. And to whom much has been given, much is going to be required. We are a blessed nation and a blessed church. You've been given much. Much is required of you in return. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for an opportunity, Lord, to look into Your Word. Lord, for an opportunity to look at, this matter of stewardship, what our role is and what Your role is. And Lord, it looks pretty plain to me that You're the owner, and Lord, that we are the employee. And Lord, if we're going to get along with You, it appears to me in this area that we're going to have to recognize, Lord, where everything that we have came from. Lord, help us to have grateful hearts for what we do have and not negative feelings about what we don't have. Help us to be grateful people. Help us to be wise stewards. Help us to be maximizing everything that You've placed us in charge of. Lord, help us not to lose sight of the idea, Lord, that we are managers every day, not just every other day or one day a week. We are managers of everything that You place in our hands every single day. May we look to You. May we look to the instruction manual for principles of how to use what it is that You've given our hands, and may we never be resentful about what You have kept aside for Your own particular use. May we not touch the untouchable things. May we not touch those things that You have reserved, Lord God, for Your use alone. Now, Lord, as I've talked about stewardship here this morning, and Lord, You have moved up and down in here by Your Spirit, and Lord, I suspect that You have touched some folks about their stewardship, and I pray, God, that You just simply help these folks have a life that's changed as a result of that. I suspect also that as we're talking about stewardship, Lord, that You've been talking to somebody about their soul. And so, Father, I pray that You would intensify that effort because You are sovereign in everything. And Lord, outside You, there is no life. And Lord, all the principles in the world won't make up for the fact that if someone does not surrender their life to you, that at the end of this life, there will be judgment. And so I pray, dear God, that you would bring that truth home to roost today. Lord, that we might rectify it. Not that we might just leave here and be scared, but God, that we might rectify that and get on board with the plan that you have for each and every life. You have, Lord, a wonderful plan for each life. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us to get in tune with that wonderful plan and live it, Lord God. I mean really live. Ain't nobody ever lived life like they could live it until your Spirit is placed in them, until salvation comes to that life. Lord, that's not really living until salvation comes. Lord, help us as saved people to live like we're saved, to live the positive Christian life, not the sour pickle negative, I can't do this one thing life. God, the positive, free life of liberty in Christ. Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name.